Right. Well, announcements. Let's see, y'all had ladies' fellowship last night. So that happened. So that's in the history books. That one's done. Remember December 19th, Saturday, December 19th, 5 o'clock. That is our Christmas party. December 19th, 5 o'clock. Mary Beth has the sign-up sheet in the back for desserts. And please sign up if you plan on attending so we know how much of the main course to cook anyway. So sign-up is in the back there in the foyer. And then December 20th, the next day, Sunday, we'll have one service that day. It'll be at 11 o'clock. We'll have the Children's Church program. And the service is going to be geared for, it'll be an evangelistic service. And so one service, December 20th, 11 o'clock, evangelistic service. And so just keep that in mind there. And I think those are all the announcements that I know of. Now let me wipe off my glasses so I can see. Luke chapter 2 is where we're at this evening, continuing through this sort of Christmas, all the folks and characters and people and things about the birth of Jesus Christ. And this is Anna. This is Anna. She only gets a couple of verses, three verses in the Bible, but the fact that the Lord, I'd probably never quit mentioning it, but it's always fascinating who the Lord chooses to write about and who he doesn't choose to write about. And so Anna makes it into the Bible with a good report here. Luke chapter 2, verse 36, and the theme really of Anna's life in these three verses is devotion. Devotion to the Lord and the Lord's things. And we'll talk about Anna this evening. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. The Bible says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What a great testimony this lady. She is apparently there when Simeon sees the baby Jesus and picks him up and pronounces, "My eyes have seen thy salvation," and all of that. And Anna is there in the temple and sees this taking place and gets excited about it, and she's been looking for the Lord's Christ, and here he is. And so she's been devoted to the temple and living there, or at least working there, being around the temple for years and years and years, and now the Savior has appeared and she is excited to see and tell whoever she can tell. So Anna's devotion. Let's pray, and we'll talk about this lady named Anna. Father, I pray that you would help us this evening. I pray that you would guide us through the scriptures, encourage us. I pray that we would take note. We would take note, consider people that you put in the Bible, and people with a good report, and that we would compare, we would kind of be introspective about our own lives, and just think about maybe things in our lives that could either be improved or be encouraged or things like that. But you put folks in the Bible with good reports and instruct us with these folks, and I pray that you would feed your flock this evening. And for those watching, pray that you'd bless them for watching, for those traveling, that you'd keep them safe traveling, and for those that are sick, that you'd heal up their bodies and Lord, give them good health. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, three verses about Anna. For those of you guys that just came in, Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38 is where we're at. And Anna's not somebody that makes doesn't make the manger scene, you know, isn't there with the shepherds or the wise men or anything like that. So she doesn't really show up in the nativity scenes or anything like that. Kind of hidden away here in the book of Luke. But she's there in the temple when the Lord Jesus Christ is brought in to be circumcised. He's 8 days old, and she's been in the temple for years and years and years, just faithfully serving in the temple in whatever capacity she's serving, obviously for sure with prayer and fasting, and no telling how many prayers she had answered over the years, and the fact that she's praying and fasting is not that there's probably years and years of answered prayer, and here is one answered prayer for sure. She gets to see Jesus Christ as a baby. She gets to see him, and he is the hope of Israel, and he is everything that the Old Testament scriptures and the prophets and the law and the Psalms and all the Old Testament had talked about. That here is the one. Here's the baby who will become a man, that is the hope of Israel, the redeemer of all of mankind. And so Anna has, there's four things I want to take note of in her life that the Bible mentions. And some of y'all could probably preach this a little bit better than I can. But Anna is a lady that was apparently married early in life. She married early, but wasn't married very long, and her husband died. And you see that in verse 36 and verse 37. And when her husband died, she did something that, I don't know, 95-99% of ladies don't do, is she didn't find another husband. She dedicated the rest of her years to just serving in the temple. And so especially when you read about her, as young as she was when her husband died, the temptation must be, I need to find another husband. I need to find another relationship to be in. And Paul actually talks about that and warns a little bit about that. And but she does something so unique. She does not hunt down another relationship or hunt down another husband. She takes the rest of her life to just dedicate her life to the temple, to praying, fasting, and serving in whatever capacity she could do that. So you see it in verse 36. We'll just read it to you. It says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity." So from a very early age, she got married and was married for 7 years. And then her husband died and she was without a husband. Verse 37, "And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple." So looks like she's 84 years old. And she had been married probably in her teens, maybe mid, late teens or something. And when her husband died, she's probably in her 20s. I'd guess she's probably in her 20s, early 20s or so. And it's just incredible. I imagine the temptation to find another relationship is pretty great. In fact, Paul says something about that, which we ought to read. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul gives a little bit of insight on this and kind of the mindset that oftentimes accompanies broken relationships for ladies. 1 Timothy 5:11. Not that guys are immune to being looking for other relationships, but this is just dealing with Anna here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, but the younger widows refuse. That's talking about support and bringing them on, using the church to support somebody who is a younger widow. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So here's a warning about this. This is a typical case. This is something that pretty common. A lady is out of a relationship and then looking for another relationship. And just, you know, what Paul says is what's going to happen, probably what's going to happen, you got to be careful of this, is she's going to go looking for another relationship, and she'll find another relationship. It won't be a good relationship. And what she'll learn to do, he says, is they'll learn to wander about from house to house and be idle and tattlers and busybodies and just talking and gossiping and that becomes the lifestyle. And so that being sort of the normal track, I mean, you can all probably think of folks, maybe the husbands didn't die or something like that. Maybe it was a boyfriend or something. Maybe it was a husband. And there's a divorce or, you know, a breakup in the relationship, and you watch somebody go from one relationship to another relationship to another relationship, and it's just like this, it's just this kind of becomes a revolving door almost, and it's not increasing to godliness, it's just increasing to godlessness. And so that's the warning Paul gives, and I say all that to say that's kind of the typical course of life for people, I mean, for young ladies. But Anna wasn't like that. When her husband died, she could have remarried, but she didn't. And really what she chose to do is treat the Lord like he was her husband. And she goes to the Lord's house and just stays in the Lord's house for 60 years. And so Anna devotes herself to the Lord. That's the first thing. She learns to, you could say it this way, she learned to love the Lord first. And if that's a good lesson for anybody in relationships. If you learn to love the Lord first and let him guide your relationships, that's the way to do that. Not learn to love this person and have them try to guide them into a love of the Lord. Love the Lord and let him guide the relationship. So she puts the Lord first. She learns to love the Lord first. She is a unique individual, very unique individual, and no doubt why the Lord chose to put her in with a good report here in the Bible. So Anna devotes herself to the Lord. How does she do that? Verse 37, back over in Luke chapter 2. One of the things she does is she departs not from the temple in verse 37. So she stays in the temple, and Anna chooses to be the keeper of the Lord's house, you could say. You know, instead of, she doesn't have her own house necessarily. She's not going to keep her own house. She doesn't have children. She doesn't have a husband anymore. And so she just makes the Lord's house her house. And she just decides, I'm just going to keep the Lord's house, and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to treat the Lord like he is my husband, and I'm going to take care of his things. And so she departs not, the Bible says, she departed not from the temple. She's there because it's God's house. Now, there's some good stuff here. You could say, if you love the Lord, then you love the things of the Lord. If you love God, you love the things of God. Anna, undoubtedly, as much as she knew about scriptures, as much as she knew about the coming Messiah, as much as she knew about all that stuff, undoubtedly, Anna knows the religious leadership in Israel is a joke. Undoubtedly, she knows the Pharisees are a bunch of hypocritical, they're just a bunch of Pharisees. She knows undoubtedly Israel is under the judgment of God with the Gentiles running the land. She understands that. But with all of that working against, she didn't complain about what was going on in the temple. She just makes the temple her home. And she goes and she keeps house, so to speak, in the temple by prayers and fastings for sure, which we'll see in just a second. But the Bible says she departed not from the temple. Knowing all these things, knowing that there's bad people in the temple, knowing that the religious leadership is just kind of a mess, knowing all these things, bottom line, the Lord set up this system, and she wants to be a part of it. She wants to keep the things of the Lord. So she is devoted not only herself to the Lord. She didn't find another husband, which she could, and you say, well, she missed out on life. Well, that's part of devotion. You choose what you're going to miss out on because you choose what you're going to do. And if you're going to do this, that means you're not going to do this over here. That means you're going to do this over here. And so you could say, well, she missed out on some things. I don't know. She would probably say, I didn't miss out on anything. She probably would disagree with you. But she devotes herself to the Lord. She's devoted to the house of the Lord. How does she do that? Look in verse 37 one more time. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Fastings and prayers night and day. So she is, you ought to take note of how often those two words go together, prayer and fasting. Those things show up an awful lot. We like the prayer idea. That's a good idea. I'll say a prayer. Prayer and fasting, that's a little more commitment to that one. There's a little more devotion involved in that one. And so she's serving God with prayer and fasting and undoubtedly staying up some nights and the Lord just laying things on her heart that she's praying about and staying up praying about them. And I don't know if she's praying every single night, all night. Obviously, she's sleeping at some point in time, but you know how that goes. You get some things that are burdening you, laying on your heart, and you stay up a while and you pray about them, and you try to put the burden, give the burden to the Lord, and let Him take care of it. So she has devoted her time. She devotes her time. She devotes herself. She's devoted to the house of the Lord. And she has devoted her time, fasting and prayer, day and night. This is her life. Look over in 1 Timothy. I'll give you another good one that shows up in 1 Timothy chapter 5 before what we just read a while ago. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5 says this. About a widow indeed, a widow that meets the qualifications in the chapter here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. There you go. Oh, well, that's her. That's Anna. She's not... Doesn't have any, doesn't look like she has any family, hadn't remarried, any of those things. She has just made the Lord her husband and decided, I'm going to take care of His house and I'm going to devote my time, I'm going to devote my energy, I'm going to devote my life to the things of God. And so that's what Paul says. She that's a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. So with all of that she's done, what happens with this? She's in the temple. She's in the temple when Jesus Christ is presented there. She's in the temple when Simeon sees Jesus and holds him up and says, my eyes have seen thy salvation. She obviously hears that. And I can't imagine the joy that just overcame her. Having spent all these years in the temple, hearing about from the scriptures, from the what we would call the Old Testament, just the scriptures about the Lord's Christ and the coming Christ and the coming Messiah, and now here he is. He's a baby, but this is the baby that will become a man and redeem all of mankind. So here's what she does in verse 38. She becomes a preacher. The first verse you read in verse 36 says she is a prophetess. That's just the preacher. And she coming in that instant, verse 38, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow. just to have her prayers answered, to have this opportunity to see the Lord. Here she is, an aged lady, having served God for probably 60 years in prayer and fasting, day and night, serving in the temple, and now seeing the Lord's Christ. She is so overjoyed. I mean, you probably couldn't stop this lady from talking about what she's seeing. You probably couldn't stop her. She will talk to whoever and whatever will listen at this point. And so the Bible says that she spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Redemption is something. Now, this is something that we may do a study on this a separate time here. But I'm trying to hammer this point home over and over and over in Sunday school and whenever we teach the Bible. There is so much what we would call Old Testament in the New Testament. And what Simeon understood, which we talked about the other day, whatever service that was, Simeon understood quite a bit about Jesus Christ. Disciples may not have understood all that Simeon understood. Simeon understood quite a bit about Jesus Christ. Anna seems to understand quite a bit about Jesus Christ. She understands redemption, so she's going to speak of redemption. Now, where does she get all this information about understanding a redeemer and all of that? Well, almost every reference to Jesus Christ as a redeemer and redemption in the New Testament is just an Old Testament verse quoted. So let me just give you a few of these things. Here's what Anna understood about redemption and a redeemer. She probably knew Job. Job's in the Old Testament. And she was probably familiar with Job's understanding of a redeemer when he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth." He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. That means my Redeemer is a man that's going to stand on the earth. He's somebody that has flesh and blood. He understands there's a Redeemer that has flesh and blood. This is God manifest in the flesh. We could go back there, but I'm going to show you several other verses here, just at least quote them to you. So Job, the oldest book in the Bible, is pretty clear on redemption, pretty clear on Christ as the Redeemer. Job's pretty clear on that. Let me show you this one. Look in Psalm chapter 49. We can read this one about redemption. I'm showing you these because this is what Anna has access to. This is what Anna's reading. This is what she's getting her information from. Psalm chapter 49, verse 1. I don't know where to back up to here. Verse 1. It says, "Hear this, all ye people," Psalm 49:1. "Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world." So everybody listen up, everybody. This is not Israel, this is everybody. Both low and high, rich and poor together, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. There's that word. You can't buy redemption. For redemption, verse 8, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. You can have redemption of a nation. You can have redemption of a soul. This is the redemption of a soul here. Verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. There's redemption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. So it didn't matter if you're rich or poor or whatever, you die. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. Verse 12. Verse 13. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. So death is no respecter of persons. Rich, poor, you can't buy your way out of it. You couldn't put up enough money to have enough medical care to keep yourself alive forever. There's just no way to do it. Death has no respecter of persons. Verse 14, like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But watch this. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. What? That's what Paul said. That's redemption of the body. So I should say redemption of the soul. So here's the problem. The soul is clothed in a body that's corrupt. Your soul is clothed in a corruptible, dying body. The only way to preserve life in your soul, the only way to do that so that your soul can enjoy life on this earth for years and years to come is to give your soul another body that won't corrupt. Well, that's what's promised in Jesus Christ, a new body that he's going to wrap around your soul. He will clothe that soul in a new body, which he calls in the New Testament, that's the redemption of the body, or the redemption of the soul, the redemption of the body here. It's a new body. You'll see it in Romans. I'll show you. It's the adoption of the body there. So here's a great set of verses. This isn't to Israel. This is to the whole world. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Here's what Anna understood. There's no law that she can keep to gain redemption of her soul. She needs a new body. That's what she needs. There's no law that says if you do this law, God will give you a new body so that your soul will never have to die. There's no law like that. There's some laws about how a nation should act and things like that. All through the Old Testament, God is the Redeemer. From Job, the oldest book in the Bible, God is the Redeemer of the soul. So here's another one. I'll just throw these out there to you. Isaiah is full of this. It's full of times where the Savior and the Redeemer are put together and all that. Here's one. As for our Redeemer, this is Isaiah 47. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 47:4. And Isaiah is just full of these verses. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. You know who the Holy One of Israel is? That's Jesus Christ. That's what Peter says. This is the Holy One of Israel. and he's quoting Old Testament. Hosea says it this way, and this is quoted in 1 Corinthians. Hosea 13 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall not be hid from mine eyes. That verse in Hosea 13 gets quoted by Paul. And he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And Paul didn't just make that up off the top of his head. He got that from Hosea. So what I'm saying is, Anna has access to this. This is where Anna's reading. This is she's in the temple. This is what she's indoctrinated with. The Redeemer, he is the Holy One. He is a man. He is God manifest in the flesh. And he will destroy death. He will one day destroy death. Here's another one. New Testament. Romans chapter 8. You're probably familiar with this one. The Bible says, Romans 8, Paul said, and not only they, talking about creation groaning and all that, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What he just said was, what we're waiting for, if you're saved, what you're waiting for, just like what Anna was waiting for, just like what every sinner is waiting for, who is looking to Jesus Christ, looking for redemption. They're waiting for a new body and get rid of this sinful flesh so that we don't have to live in this sinful flesh anymore. And Paul says, what he called it is, he says, we are waiting for the adoption, to wit, the adoption, which is the redemption of our body. That's the adoption. The redemption of our body. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 23. So we've said it before. If you're saved, what you have, and in Romans 8, this is generally what he's talking about, the Spirit that's accompanying salvation, Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of adoption, but you don't have the body of adoption. Inside you, you have a spirit that groans and wants desperately out of the body it's locked into, and wants desperately to be clothed in righteousness, but we're not there yet, because you don't have the body of redemption yet. You just have the Spirit of adoption, or the redemptive spirit. You got the Spirit of adoption. You don't have the body that's adopted yet. So, saved souls, you got the Spirit of adoption, but you don't have the body of adoption. You're waiting for that. Paul says it again in Galatians chapter 4. He says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the adoption is just the redemption of the body. So I say those things to say this. Here's Anna. She has devoted her whole life. I mean, after her husband died, she's devoted her whole life to the things of the Lord. And now the person that she has devoted her whole life to, the God that she has devoted her whole life to, has now walked in the door, or at least been carried in the door, and he is in the hands of Simeon and Mary. He is the baby in their hands. And she sees this baby, and she is so overcome with joy, she cannot stop telling people about the redemption. So the Bible says of Anna, what she did at the end here, the Bible says, and she coming in that instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She knew exactly what this baby, who would become a man, what he would do for her and for whoever wanted redemption, whoever was looking for redemption. She knew this baby is going to grow up and be a man and be the Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer of mankind. She knows that. And so whoever wants to listen, she will tell. She will tell. So she spends her life, she is a devoted lady. She devotes herself to the Lord. She devotes herself to the house of the Lord. She devotes her time in prayer and fasting. And with all of that, the Lord answers her prayer and shows up in the temple when she's in the temple. And then she devotes her conversation, her mouth, her preaching. She devotes her conversation to the things of the Lord. She was going to speak of the Christ, of Jesus Christ, to whoever wants redemption, she wants to talk about it. So all those things, we could look at so many more verses, but I just want to show you these folks that are around when Jesus Christ is born. The Lord highlights a few people, and these people aren't in the dark about Jesus Christ. They know quite a bit. They seem to be up to speed on what's happening. Simeon knows quite a bit. Simeon knows about the resurrection and death, burial, and resurrection. He seems to know quite a bit. Anna, she knows this baby is the Redeemer of Israel. And so she is fully devoted, and she's rewarded for it. You say, well, you know, she could have gotten married and had a miserable life or something like that. No. She could have gotten married. She just missed out on so many things. I would say if you told Anna that, she would say, "I haven't missed out on anything. I haven't missed out on anything." And she's just right where the Lord wants her to be, and preaches redemption and all that. So great stuff. Great stuff. There's so many good things in here. But Anna's devotion. Let's pray. And we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. These folks that you've highlighted in the Bible, they are well aware of the work of Jesus Christ, and at least the future work. It's going to be future to them anyway. But they seem to be very, very well aware of the work of Christ. Lord, thank you for putting these folks in the Bible. We can learn a lot from Anna's devotion. She avoids temptation that's common, avoids temptation, learns to love you first, definitely rewarded for that. And Father, thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray you bless each soul for being here. And we could just take something home with us about Anna this evening, midweek, middle of the work week, and learn something about her devotion that we could use. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.